Welcome to Bolts and Bats in the Bay, a podcast brought to you by FL Teams. FLteams.com is a top Florida sports source dedicated to providing in-depth analysis and coverage for all Florida sports, including college and professional sports teams. Remember to go to FLteams.com. Hi everyone, I am your host Jeff Macalino, and we're going to give you a quick run through the week that was and the week ahead for your Tampa Bay Lightning and your Tampa Bay Rays. As always, I will start things off with your defending Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Last time we talked, the Lightning were on a two-game losing streak, and I hoped that this upcoming week might be a good bounce-back week given the schedule ahead. It looked like I might have been right, but then I would say I was proven wrong on Sunday. So they started things off. They had two games at home against Columbus. Tuesday, they dropped the first game 3-1, which was their third straight loss. And that one, they fell behind. They gave up two goals in the second period. Matthew Joseph scored early in the third, but they then even gave up a third goal, the Lightning did, and dropped that one 3-1. Didn't look great, to be honest. Somewhat discouraging. However, on Thursday, they played the Blue Jackets again. They had a very nice bounce back. Braden Point scored two goals. He was the star of this game. Ross Colton also added his third goal in that game. That kid is looking... he's growing on me quite a bit. He's looking very good. So the Lightning won that game Thursday 3-2. They had two more home games. Saturday and Sunday, they had back-to-back games against the Detroit Red Wings. Things looked nice on Saturday. They took a 2-0 lead in the first period. A couple names I just mentioned. Ross Colton scored the first goal. Braden Point, the second. Old buddy Adam Ernie added one for the Red Wings in the third. But the Lightning were able to take this one. And I would say they pretty clearly outplayed Detroit in this one. Taking it 2-1. Sunday, things got a little ugly. No nice way to say it. Things got a little ugly. The Lightning had some bad bounces off the boards that kind of bit them. But frankly, the second period was just disastrous, giving up three goals. They went into a third down 4-0 and ended up losing final score of 5-1. Even with the bad bounces, you know, the Lightning defense just was way too loose. It was not a pretty game. Defense has been the thing that I kind of harped on last week as a problem. McDonough came back to the lineup, so I thought things would get better, and they did for two games. So we'll see. The Lightning rode ahead this upcoming week. They travel to Columbus, so they have another two-game set with Columbus on Tuesday and Thursday, and then they travel to Nashville for a two-game set on Saturday and Tuesday of next week. So a relatively light week for the Lightning. Some travel, only three games in this little span here. And hopefully the Lightning can organize and get things back on the right path. You know, it's not anything to overly concern over at this point. It's probably going to be their worst stretch of six games, I would imagine. When you look back at the season, this will be their worst stretch of the entire season. They did fall 2 points behind the Florida Panthers, although the Panthers have played one more game than the Lightning. So, you know, they go out and win on Tuesday. Things are tied up again. The Lightning remain 1 point ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes for second place. Carolina, however, has played one less game than the Lightning, two less than the Panthers. They all three have a large cushion over the battle for fourth place. The Nashville Predators at 41 points currently hold that position. Again, it would take something stunning for the Panthers, Lightning, and Hurricanes not to be the top three seeds going in for the Central. Overall, you know, even if you're concerned about the Lightning's recent play, look at the rest of the NHL. The Washington Capitals in the East, same amount of points, same amount of games as the Lightning. The Lightning have a better goal differential. The only team with a better goal differential with them is the Colorado Avalanche in the West Division. They have 54 points as well in 37 games, so they're slightly, numbers-wise, ahead of the Lightning. Nothing to concern Lightning fans with here. Sometimes I feel, you know, with great teams like this, it's better to have some weaknesses exposed in the regular season. You would not want this exposed in the playoffs. So get all of the little issues out of the way and go into the postseason at full strength, 100%. Get that defense in order. And again, a couple of these games, Curtis McElhinney played, and he's a good backup goaltender, but he's not the best goalie in the NHL who the Lightning are going to have out there every night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So now let's shift to the Tampa Bay Rays. They have the three-game set in Miami. Opening day, always so exciting. Now, normally, I'll be talking about six or seven games for the Lightning, or for the Rays, excuse me. So I won't go too in-depth on each game, but there are only three games this week. So I'll give you a little run-through of each game. The Rays took 2 of 3 from the Marlins. Opening day was quite the pitcher's duel. Tyler Glasnow was absolutely filthy. Six innings, six strikeouts, only allowed one hit. He did it efficiently also, 77 pitches. Kind of got a feel on how the Rays are going to play with the bullpen with Nick Anderson out. They went to Thompson for the seventh, Fairbanks for the eighth, and Diego Castillo got the save with a nice clean ninth inning with two strikeouts. The Rays' only run in the game came on an Austin Meadows home run in the eighth inning. So a little bit of drama late in the game. Austin Meadows hits the home run to give the Rays the 1-0 victory. That's all they needed that day. Now on Friday, game two of the set, the Rays also broke out the long ball for a little bit of good times. First run in that game came in the sixth inning. Austin Meadows homered again to give the Rays a 1-0 lead. Starting to think Austin Meadows might be the only one to provide runs for the Rays. But in the seventh, Manuel Margot homered. He added a pretty deep home run to left field. Things fell apart a bit, though, in the bottom of the seventh and even in the eighth inning for the Rays. This is where some of that concern about the bullpen showed itself. So first, let me quickly say Ryan Yarbrough, another outstanding start from the starting pitching staff in that second game. 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, no walks. Fairbanks came in, walked a batter, but got the last out there in the sixth. And then things kind of got a little sloppy there in the seventh and the eighth. Chaz Rowe was charged with 2 earned runs. Sheriff was charged with a run. And Kittredge was charged with a run in the eighth inning. Things didn't look good for the Rays there. But in the top of the ninth, Brandon Lau, Yandy Diaz get on base. And Joey Wendell comes through with a big-time home run to right field. Gave the Rays a 5-4 lead. That was followed by a triple by Margot, who was then driven in by Mejia, who he looked pretty good at the plate, by the way. He had a sacrifice fly. He also walked. He went 1-for-2 with that RBI. He looked he He looked pretty good at the plate, pretty comfortable at the plate for the Rays. Diego Castillo again came in, closed it out in the ninth for his second save in as many games. The Rays took that one as well. First two games, you know, Glasnow, Yarbrough, you kind of expect them to be good. The third game, the Rays went with a combo pitching job. Rich Hill got the start. Chris Archer came in after Rich Hill. That combo pitching did not work out. It's only the first game that they've tried it. Rich Hill gave up a run every inning. He went four innings, gave up four runs, five hits, struck out four. Too many hard hit balls off of him, to be frank. Chris Archer came in, and he actually ended up taking the loss in this game. He went two innings, gave up four hits, three earned runs, and two strikeouts. One thing I'll say for Archer, he gave up a decent amount of hard-hit balls as well. However, Austin Meadows, as much as loved what he showed at the plate, I can't unsee what I saw with him in right field. Just back-to-back batters absolutely butchered the play, and Chris Archer took the hit for it. One of them, he completely misread the ball. It landed in front of him on the warning track, which is not something you see very often. Next one, he actually, rightfully so, got charged with the error as he just basically dropped the fly ball. Didn't help Thompson. Didn't look great coming in to try to close things out. And then McHugh came in for the ninth inning and gave up three runs. Hill, Archer, McHugh were guys that you were kind of curious and felt a lot might ride on them this year, and it was not a good debut for any of the three of them. Of course, this was the game the Rays brought out their best offensive performance of the series. The Rays did get seven runs. They allowed 12. Mike Zunino had a monstrous home run in the second inning. That was nice to see from him. Yandy Diaz, pretty hot start. He was 2-for-3 in that game. And Joey Wendell, the hero of game two, was 2-for-4. Just quickly looking at some of the batting stats, it's only three games. It's not much to look at. Austin Meadows, couple of home runs, like I mentioned, was 3-for-11. Also walked a couple times. Hopefully, he's getting back to his 2019 form like we wanted to see. Manuel Margot, 4-of-10 with a triple and a home run. He looks pretty comfortable at the plate. Kevin Kiermaier, 4 strikeouts, went 1-for-10. Did not continue his hot spring like I had hoped. And, of course, Joey Wendell, he went 3-for-8 with that big-time home run and added 4 RBI for the series. The road ahead, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Boston, then the home opener. Friday, after a day off, they host the Yankees Fridays, Saturday, and Sunday. All of those are day games, 3:10 Friday, 1:10 Saturday, 1:10 Sunday. So hopefully that's a nice atmosphere. They'll get to play at the Trop and against the Yankees of all teams. So should be an interesting week at Boston and New York back to back, and we'll see how things start to play out this year in the AL East. So look forward to the upcoming week and talking to you again next week. That'll do it for Bolts and Bats in the Bay. Please feel free to hit me up and follow me on Twitter at SaintJMac, SaintJMac. You can check out my comedy podcast, the Jeff Macalino podcast, as well. And please follow FL Teams on Twitter at FL Teams. Subscribe to the FL Teams podcasts and their YouTube channel. And remember to go to FLTeams.com to stay updated on all your Florida sports news and coverage. Peace.